And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Text lines are open. Text it or call it. Same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Love to get your feedback on where things went with the legislative session or what you think about things we're talking about today. And, oh, by the way, if you've seen that Led Zeppelin video I just talked about. So I'm looking at Big Rig right now. You said you've not seen that video,
I
right?
I haven't seen
You're a music guy, man. You'd enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding when I say outside of, like, being in a worship environment, like in a church, you know, with it was probably one of the most moving pieces of music I've ever seen.
What's that video? Stairway to Heaven at where?
It was Stairway to Heaven at the Kennedy Center Honors. Kennedy's. Yeah. I think it was actually filmed in 2012, so it's not like it's brand new. Because Obama was president at the time, so it would have to be back then. But wow.
I'll check it out.
It was good. What do we got here? So John from Huntsville texted in, says, Phil, awesome monologues. Want to let you know on Wednesday night, I was at my parents' house, which is also where the junkyard business is located, and an F2 tornado almost got us. Oh, man. Glad you're all right, John. He said there was a bunch of massive trees laying across our very long driveway. Some of the trees got twisted in half. We couldn't even get out of the driveway till we got that cleared. And the power just came on about a half hour ago. Man, John, well, I'm glad y'all are okay. Yeah, my daughter has a job that kept her up all night responding to weather issues. And she said it was something else in the Huntsville area. And she said it was something else. Sam from Priceville sent me, what'd you send me, Sam? A meme. He says, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And then Ronald Reagan's quote follow up to that was, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, just that they know so much that isn't so. It's true. John from Harvest says, Phil, thank you. Keep fighting the good fight. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Jeff from Indiana says, well, thank you, Jeff from Indiana. He says, Phil, like, thank you for everything you've done, everything you will do on your program, and it will do to help future generations stay on the right path. I know you've inspired me. Man. Jeff Rowe, thank you, brother. I appreciate you very much. All right, listen, text it or call it, 833-687-4448. So, yeah, you may want to know, as we jump into the first dipper here in a minute, I'm not ready to launch it yet, Big Rig. I see you reach for that sound effect. He was leaning in, man. But it got weird. Just so you know, it got weird in the legislative session yesterday. I was literally finishing up the show, and some of y'all that were listening during the 5 o'clock hour heard me have a going off moment where I was just ticked because it sounded like out of the blue, they were about to make a last minute deal on gambling. Now, let me just tell you, there's several reasons why I'd be irritated. Number one, that bill was awful. I don't like it. I didn't like it when I was down there. I don't like it now that I'm not down there. It's bad doings. They have yet to put together what I would call a clean bill. It's always, in fact, I had a great conversation with a current legislator last night. We were talking about it. And he said that whole thing, every bit of it, was all built on greed. That's all it was. All of the debates, all the filibusters, all the time that it took up from the legislative processes, the fact that it sucked the oxygen out of the room, seemed like every third day they were doing something gambling. That's all the press could talk about. That's all the press is still talking about. I mean, my gosh, they did school choice, but all they care about is we wanted a casino. And yet the vast majority of the state was not asking for that. I know a bunch of folks would like to see a lottery, but the vast majority of the state is not saying, I really wanted 10 casinos. I was really hoping we'd get 10 casinos. Could we? I mean, yeah. No, nobody was asking for that, except for very few, especially the gambling interests who, you know, been breaking our laws for years. Anyway, that bill was up and it was being like thrown around. It is never a good idea to have a massive piece of substantive legislation being thrown together in the final hours of the legislative session, because that's when bad things slip through. That's when someone says, fine, just put it on the floor. I'll vote for it. Fine. Leave me alone. You got my vote. Fine. I don't want to read the bill for the ninth time. Fine. I don't want to read the bill for the first time. I heard that many times. The end result is, that bill didn't need to pass on the last day anyway. That's the kind of bill that is so substantive in its nature, that is so dynamic in its moving parts, that they need to pass that somewhere around the middle to the second, you know, half of the session, but not in the final hours. That would have been danger Will Robinson all over. All right, I'll tell you more about that and more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I mean, I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Had somebody ask me today, by the way, do you have to read that every time? Nope.
He memorizes everything.
it just happens. I don't even know where it came from. I just did it one day and it stuck. But anyway, it's crazy. I probably say it in my sleep, just to be honest. All right, so we're going to do what I like to call, looking around the state, finding the things that are important, things that I think you might want to know, stuff that's happening in and around and amongst us right here in your own backyard. We like to throw them all in a pan, cook them up, and call them home fries. Yeah, just sizzle them up. Just cook them. All right, so first of all, I'll lead off with this. I'm asking some of y'all to thank a legislator. Some of y'all, you know, listen, when you go down there, when you go to the phones, go to the text messages, go to the emails, see them out there at church or in the fast food place or, you know, getting barbecue, whatever, I'm telling you, they live right there among you. You may not even know it. They're just, you know, they walk amongst us, but they do. And there's some good, solid people that are serving in the Alabama House and Senate. Now, there's some, I get it. There are some that need to go. They do. There are some that are of no benefit to the conservative cause, and there are some who have been there a long, 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 long time. But there are some who are just solid, and I appreciate them. And you need to tell them thank you. And sometimes it's for what they did, and sometimes it's for what they didn't allow to happen. I would bet you, in my 8 years down there, I would bet you that we spent as much or more time killing bad legislation as we did passing good legislation. And even the best bills sometimes took 2 and 3 years to pass. And I can remember being super frustrated because I get really into a project. I'm like all in, man. And I'm like, I got mental and emotional energy built into something. When I'm working a bill, I'd get like just pent up about it. And then I get mad. And then after a while, I began to realize sometimes the best stuff takes me more than one session to get it done. And I hate it. I mean, you think the best stuff, everybody would think it's the best stuff, but not everybody thinks it's the best stuff. So you do what you got to do. Well, one of the bad bills that keeps coming up, though, is the comprehensive gaming. And this past 2 years have been some of the worst comprehensive gaming bills I have ever seen. Y'all, I'm talking like epic level bad. I've talked about it at length on the show. I won't spend a lot of time on it right now. I'll just tell you what happened yesterday. So if you remember, this thing was voted on like immediately in the House. It was the first thing they did when they came into session, like 3 months ago. Good or done, we need gambling. And, you know, Representative Andy Witt and Representative Chris Blackshear were just like all over it. Got it passed in the House. Ba-boom! Sent it on up to the Senate, thinking, sure, it would happen. We're going to get her done. Nope, that didn't work. Didn't work at all. The Senate slowed it down. The Senate took their time, and the Senate came back with an entirely different version. They got rid of some parts of it. They modified other parts of it. They kept a few parts of it, and they sent back a modified version to the House. When that happens, it goes to conference. The House got mad, and the House sat on it. They weren't going to do anything with it. They weren't even going to take it out of the basket. They're not going to play like that. That's silly. And then they finally, both sides, started to go to conference. At that point, the conference committee met and then didn't get anything done, and then met and then didn't get anything done, and then didn't meet for a while. And then all of a sudden, pew, that thing came out to the floor. It came out to the floor with a conference committee report. It went down to the House floor, and they're like, yes, 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 and they voted on it. Ba-bam! Went up to the Senate and sat there. Because the Senate was not on board, y'all. There has been a disjointedness in the House and the Senate this session, unlike pretty much anything I've ever seen in terms of being disjointed. I've seen some times when we got irritated with each other, House and Senate. I've seen some times where one says, you're not passing enough of our bills, you know, or whatever else. That happens. I've never seen the what seemed to be like a systemic break between the two as much as we saw this session. So It went to the Senate, and the Senate said, all right, we'll vote on it. And they did, and it failed. It failed by a vote of 20 to what, 15, I think? It may have had one or two missing, but the bottom line is it needed 21 to pass, and it got 20. Oh, I mean, the air went out. The tires were flat. What are we going to do? I don't know. However, then all of a sudden it was resurrected by procedural. That was only a procedural vote. We think we can vote on it one more time, but we're really not going to. We're not. It's not going to happen. Nah, we're done. And the Senate said, we're done. We're not going to waste any more time on this. And then all of a sudden, here's what happened yesterday. Yesterday, here's your inside baseball. You ready? Yesterday got weird. Yesterday, and by the way, this is a comprehensive, massive piece of legislation that creates a constitutional amendment that revises mounds of Alabama law and also sends it to the polls in a special election in August. This bill had lots of movement. This is not just, let's pass a little thing that affects a little bit of nothing. This is not a non-controversial bill. This one split the Republican caucus completely in the House and the Senate, especially in the Senate. So when you're splitting your majority caucus and you're having to consider whether to get on board with Democrats to make something pass, and they're looking at adding Medicaid expansion into it, and they're looking at gifting things to lawbreakers, and they're looking at adding 10 casinos, I mean, you got, good gosh, y'all, that is not something you do in the last 3 hours of the session. I mean, if it ever happens, it needs to be something that was substantively debated and came to, you know, a massaged place where they could all live with it and pass it somewhere around two-thirds of the way through. That's what you should do. Never let something like this wait to the last day, because bad things happen when that happens. I've seen some awful things get jammed in at the last minute because people are panicking about getting their bill passed, and they're just like, just get it passed, and they're forgetting that what they're doing is something that affects the entire state. Millions of people are affected by the bills that are passed in Montgomery, and they were trying to hand jam this thing in through in the last 3 hours of the session. Somebody had an idea. Let's get the House together. House says they'll do it. What do you think? Well, let's bring it back up. You bring it back up. We're not going to pass this budget until you do. And next thing you know, the House is down there literally holding the budget hostage. The budget. There's only one thing that the legislature is constitutionally required to do. Pass a budget. And they were holding the budget hostage in the House to see if they could cajole the Senate into passage. Didn't work. So they went from well, we'll show you, to, well, we're not going to pass a budget then, to, well, I mean, would you please? Could we? I mean, maybe? To pretty, pretty please with sugar on it? That's where it went for 3 hours. The House was basically begging the Senate to please pass something. And then the House did this. And here's where it gets embarrassing. The House came back after all of this and said, look, just send us that one you had at first that we didn't want to do and sent to conference. Just send us that one again right now. We'll approve it. That's what was happening. They were literally saying, give us anything. Give us the thing that we didn't even like last month. Give us something. We just need gambling. We want it so badly. Y'all, it just reeked of desperation. It reeked of a lack of leadership. It reeked of somebody out there is influencing something in a negative fashion. And I will tell you this. I am so proud of the state Senate. Because, I mean, I know there were people that wanted it in the state Senate. The guy who replaced me voted for it, Senator Jones. I was a no vote when I was there. He got elected when I chose not to run again, and he's voting for it. Okay. But nonetheless, there are some members of the Alabama State Senate who took a stand under extreme pressure and said, we are not going to do this in the final hours. So screw that. Pass the freaking budget and let's go to the House. And at that point, the actual House of Representatives went, okay. Fine. And they passed the budget, and everybody adjourned sine die, and the state became a safer place to live in about a matter of minutes. Y'all, that is not the way it's supposed to be. You should never have a piece of legislation passed like Nancy Pelosi says, where we're going to pass it so we can find out what's in it. Because that's what would have happened. Literally, that's what would have happened. You would have had a freaking gambling bill, changing your constitution, bringing you all to the polls in August, causing the gambling interest to flood your airwaves with commercials about why you should vote for it. It's for the children. And next thing you know, you'd be thinking you're voting on a lottery when really all you're voting on is expanding 10 casinos across the state of Alabama. It's just, it's nuts. And the fact that they were going to do that without really knowing what was in it because they were desperate. The House needs to get itself in order. And I hope some of y'all are out there listening right now and you're a little embarrassed by the way I'm talking about it. You might even be a little angry if you're a member of the House. And listen, I appreciate those of y'all that voted no and took a stand, and I appreciate those of y'all that said enough's enough. And I appreciate the fact that in the end, the entire House voted to adjourn sine die and go to the House. Their own House. But what I don't appreciate is that for about 3 hours there, they were on a tear where certain key members were thinking, we can slam together a massive piece of omnibus legislation and figure out later on whether we did a good thing. That is not the way. Not the way things are supposed to go. I will say this. There's a great piece on it on 1819 News. It talks about some of what I just said. I gave you a lot more details than the article did, but it gives you the lowdown if you want to see it. I won't even bother reading it now because I think I just spent 15 minutes talking about that thing. Listen, we're in home fries right now. I'm going to take a break. I'll come right back from that, and I'll tell you about other things because guess what? Other things besides gambling did happen. And there's a whole lot of folks out there that do need to be thanked. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, hearkening back to the monologue earlier, I talked about, you know, being willing to say thank you while folks are still here to hear it. I gave the example of the Led Zeppelin honors at the Kennedy Center. That video was amazing. John from Harvest says, Phil, I just watched that Led Zeppelin Kennedy Center video. Awesome. He said, in good memories of seeing both Led Zeppelin and Hart in concert in my youth. Yes, indeed. Jeff from Indiana just takes it in, too, and said, Hart was my first concert I ever attended. They were absolutely great then, absolutely great now. They were. And so I'll tell you guys, so one of my favorite concerts, and I would say this was on the trail end. They were past their peak, but they were still really, really good. I saw a double feature of Kansas and Hart. Kansas and Hart together, I mean, that was, good gosh, that was a double feature that just kept on going, but great concert. It was right there in Huntsville, too, as a matter of fact. Jenny from Decatur says, Phil, where can we find out how the Alabama Senate and House reps voted? Okay, there's a website. Jenny, thank you. That's a great question. There's a website called Allison. That's with one L, A-L-I-S-O-N. It stands for Alabama Legislative Information Systems Online. It's a public record where you can go and see what bills are there. You can get contact information for your legislators. You can see their picture, for that matter. I don't know if I've told y'all this. You can actually live stream the video of the Senate chamber. I think they've added the House chamber now too. There's a lot of things in there. But one of the things you should find, I believe, is the vote counts for the various bills. Here's the thing, though. You're going to have to look bills up by their number. So if you know the bill was considered like House Bill 385, that's where you're going to look it up. Or if you know who the sponsor was, like if you know it was Representative Arnold Mooney, look up Mooney. It'll show you all of his bills, and then you can find it. That's how you're going to do it. So in this case, for the gambling bill, you're probably going to look it up under Representative I can't recall if Witt or Blackshear were the two, that one of those two was the lead sponsor. It'll be under the lead sponsor's name. I got to tell you a funny story. I'm going to jump aside here real quick. I'm in home fries, but I'm going to take a moment, a personal privilege. I'm literally on the floor of the Senate, and we added cameras. When I got elected in 2010, we were part of the Republican wave, and we changed some things. We thought it was a good idea for people to be able to see what's actually happening. So we put up cameras and audio. And so you can actually watch what was happening. Well, my sweet wife is a political junkie as much as I am. And she used to watch, and she would say something like, why are you doing that? And I was like, what are you? You're watching me again. One time I'm literally at the floor. On the floor of the Senate, in the well of the Senate, arguing at the podium over a bill. And I was up there and I had my iPad and I was all ready to roll, man. I was debating hard. And my phone was sitting on the podium and I heard it ding. And I happened to glance down. And it was Charlene saying, smile more. So Apparently, I was way too serious for her. But baby, I'm arguing a bill anyway. It was pretty funny. But yeah, you can see all that on the Allison website. Thomas Mathen says, kudos to the Alabama State Senate for knowing the bad parts of the gambling bill and voting it down. Shame on the House for passing, or the U.S. House for passing foreign aid bills with no border security, but has $5 billion for enabling rapid processing. Yeah, Thomas, you're going way far afield, man. I'm not going to start talking about Qatar and Syria and all that, but I hear what you're saying, man. He is not happy with the House. And anyway, thank you, Thomas. All right, a couple more things you might want to know. I've talked about Birmingham Southern College. This was a part of the legislative session. Birmingham Southern's going out of business. Birmingham Southern, been there for over 100 years, is going away. And the question is, what's going to happen with that beautiful campus? I mean, it's in a slightly difficult part of Birmingham. It's not in what I would call the growth section of Birmingham, if there is one. It's in an area where it's like a shining light in the middle of an area that's a little bit, you know, kind of worn around the edges. Anyway, it's still a beautiful campus, great potential, but it was going bankrupt as a private institution. And it was mismanagement on their part. They wanted, you know, public bailouts. They wanted the legislature to step in and save their hide. Wasn't going to happen. Well, Alabama A&M University has said that they would like to buy it. Alabama A&M, historically black college, publicly funded out of Huntsville, is saying they would like to buy the Birmingham Southern campus and make it an adjunct campus to Alabama A&M. That's a big deal. I mean, that could be a win-win. And I don't know the downsides at this point. I've not studied it in great detail, but I do know this. We're about to see something that's going to continue. It looks like Alabama A&M University, according to Yellowhammer News, has now made an official offer to purchase Birmingham Southern for $52 million. $52 million. Now, I would bet that in a fair market value setting, that the campus and its facilities is probably worth more than that. But $52 million, I mean, right now they've got $30 million in debt, so something good happens. It says, if accepted by the BSC Board of Trustees, the campus would operate as a standalone, independent campus under the A&M umbrella, with the university seeking to retain its credentialed faculty and staff. In other words, people wouldn't lose their jobs. If approved, it would be the first public HBCU in Birmingham. A&M's Vice President of Governmental Relations made a statement about it, saying if the purchase agreement is accepted, then A&M makes a commitment that the campus would not be subdivided and sold off to private industries. We're committed to keeping the entire campus together and providing a high-quality education for each and every student. That could be huge, y'all. That could be big doings. And I'm looking forward to hearing where it goes. Also, with less than a minute left, I'll tell you this. Remember when Carly Russell reported that she'd been kidnapped and the whole world turned out trying to find her? Turns out it was fake. As of yesterday, the legislature has officially made that a crime worthy of a Class C felony. So from now on, false reports can be upgraded to a Class C felony. And the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, is saying, yeah, that's what we need. Because it took away massive amounts of resources from all kinds of state, federal, and local law enforcement trying to track her down. It turns out she was hiding in a hotel room with some chicken fingers from Jack's and just like hanging out and false report. Anyway, all that and more home fries coming up next. Stephanie Smith from API give us her take on the legislative session. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two on this Friday afternoon. And we're still cooking up a batch of home fries. Yep, you can hear them cooking, smell them. All the stuff that happens in and around amongst us sometimes is just as important as anywhere else. And somebody who knows and knows better than most is Stephanie Smith, who's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. She is basking in the glory of the legislative session being over, and she's on the phone right now. Hey, Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm much better today than I was this time yesterday.
Yes.
So that's always a good thing.
Got to enjoy your kid's soccer match. I mean, this like the whole different world right now.
I did, yeah. It's always one of those things at the end of the year, you know, the May-December hits and everything is at one time, and that is especially, you know, that's exponentially more so when the legislature is still in session. So we were glad to see them exit Montgomery yesterday afternoon, and they did some good things. But yesterday, as you know, I mean, the last day, usually there's some antics, and yesterday was no exception. So.
Yesterday was no exception, except that it might have been exceptional in its no exceptionness. it was bizarro world. But I sometimes you get worried when people try to slam something at the last minute, because I made the analogy earlier. It was as if they were willing to throw a gambling bill together in Nancy Pelosi fashion and find out what was in it later. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that I don't think that has necessarily been adequately reported on is the willingness for House leadership to basically hold the education, the entire $9.3 billion education trust fund, which is basically, you know, how every teacher is paid, how every school bus is bought, you know, all of those things for public education. But now even, you know, for education as a whole, since we have school choice, you know, the willingness to hold school children for take a gamble on school children's future for gambling was something to behold, and then more than frustrating for those of us who, you know, have been against that gambling bill from the beginning.
Yeah, it was a low moment, and I think Representative Chris Blackshear is the one that I heard. I railed about this yesterday on the show because I was hearing about it kind of in real time. That he actually even said maybe we should just hold the bill, not pass it, and just come back in a special session and deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. That rumor started on Tuesday that was their intention, and some people believed it from the very beginning. Some people were like, "No, surely they wouldn't do that." And lo and behold, that really was what they did for a few hours. Chris Blackshear, the sponsor of the gambling bills in the House, actually stood up and spoke against every single bill of every single senator that voted against the gambling bill, and brought up the same thing over and over if it was a revenue bill, about how, you know, we really couldn't afford XYZ. We really couldn't afford school lunches for children in the summertime because we didn't have this gambling money, and, you know, things like that.
So, never mind, they had balanced and reserve buffered, record-setting surplus budgets. Uh-huh. Like, good Lord.
Well, and the interesting dynamic in the House yesterday was that, you know, it was Chris Blackshear and one or two other I'll be diplomatic and say leadership oriented members railing against, you know, the Senate specifically on not passing their omnibus gambling legislation, and then agreeing with them. For a couple of hours were just a small handful of those guys, and then basically every Democrat. And so it was interesting to watch, because it was this session on display, because that was kind of the unholy alliance that had been put together in order to try to push this gambling bill through.
Yeah, you know, we're chasing a rabbit a little bit, but I had somebody on. So actually, it was Josh Moon from Political Reporter yesterday on his social media. He said, "Let's be clear, only a small minority of senators stop the entire state from voting on," you know. And I said, "No, what you really had was an overwhelming majority of Alabamians voted for their senators to go to Montgomery and make decisions on their conscience." And do the best they can. And that's what we did. It's called representative democracy.
Right. I know. It's actually our system of government. I'm not sure why he hasn't ever heard of that.
Because he's mad. He's just mad. He really, really, really wanted 10 casinos. He really, really did.
Well, and it's one of those things, you know, those types of folks tend to complain one side or the other, meaning, you know, on the one hand, you know, the day the DEI bill passed, you know, he's railing about how, you know, Republican supermajority runs over everybody else for their, you know, social issues that he thinks are stupid or unnecessary. But then conversely, you know, if the supermajority votes against something that he wants, then, you know, then they're not representing their constituents. So you know, it's talking out of both sides of their mouth, as you pointed out on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days.
Well, what else happened? I mean, gambling, I mean, and by example of what we're doing right now, gambling did suck the air out of the room. I was talking to one senator last night who was just fed up with it. He's so sick of it sucking all the air out of the room, he said. But nonetheless, there was some good stuff that happened. It really wasn't a bad session.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few, more than a few things that, you know, remained on the table at the end. There was some local legislation. I know the senators were frustrated not getting through. There were four or five bills that we were closely following or helping with that either got, you know, left on the floor of the Senate or left on the floor of the House. The porn filter bill was one of those. Yeah. The What Is a Woman bill codifying male and female was one of those. You know, there were several of them. The sex ed bill, there were several bills that they left because they were controversial until the end to see if they could just plow through them on the last day. And the answer was no. But the answer was no, not because of those issues specifically. It was no because everybody was still mad about and complaining about gambling, which is something that, you know, everyone on all sides of this issue should be aware of and notice and take note of, which is what you just expressed. Just this subject takes so much emotional energy on both sides of the equation that it really is difficult on the process, and it's difficult on relationships, and it's difficult to pass good bills if we're going to talk about this every single year over and over again.
Well, but we'll see where it goes. What was your by the way, what was your favorite thing for the session? I mean, what was the if you had to hang your hat on something and go, well, if nothing else passed, I'm glad that one did.
Well, school choice for us.
Yes.
School choice was early, and people are not even talking about it as a legislative victory at this point because it was so early in the process. But I mean, if you had told me this time last year, you know, the API would have been one of the lead organizations pushing for school choice, and we would have gotten it, and pushing against gambling, and we would have killed it. I would have just said, I would have just kind of shaken my hands and been like, okay, that's enough for me. But API had, as you know, 30 issues on our blueprint. 25 of those issues were considered, and 17 of them were successful.
Nice.
So from an API perspective, we had a very, very productive session.
Outstanding. Well, good for you. And you know, I don't know if you heard, you probably didn't hear it because y'all know your kid's soccer game, but when I opened the show today, I did a monologue about why it's so important, and I had some analogies, but why it's so important to remember to not only rail against your legislator when they do something wrong, but to thank them when you think that something went right.
Amen.
And absolutely. And one of the things that I was, like when I was on staff at API before you came on staff, we started a thing called the Policy Warrior Award. And I'm so glad to see you put that back in place. It had a gap there of a few years, and I'm so glad you did that because what it does is it says we're singling somebody out to say thank you and giving you an award because we recognize what you did.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do complain. I know I do. I know you do. We do complain about all the things that they do wrong. But they did some really good things this year, and one of those that I was proud of was the annual appraisal cap on property taxes.
Yes.
There are folks that now will have a maximum of a 7% increase where they were in their 20s, 30s, even 40% higher on an annual basis, and people were losing their homes, losing their family homes. And that is now capped at 7% annually. I'd like to get that even lower, and I would like to see annual property tax appraisals go away. And go to every other year, every 4 years, how they used to be. But that will help a lot of Alabamians. Some of the election integrity bills, I think, were very important. And then there were several social issue bills that were extremely important, in my estimation, and especially protecting kids online from predators and unintended things on the internet. Would have loved to have seen that filter bill get through. Because that was another tactic. But I also think that there were a lot of really good things that did get through. That's not to say there's not plenty of work to be done, because we do need to get back to the mentality that you had when you were there, which was, how can we be efficient? How can we not create more government programs? How can we be efficient with what we have, and maybe even, dare I say, look at what we have and see what can be consolidated, what can be closed down, what is not necessary anymore? and have really smart, limited government instead of the answer always being, what can government spend more money on?
Did you just intone that we should downsize government? Did you just do that?
It is shocking, I know, that I'm the president of an organization who believes in limited government and free market, in addition to the strong family. So we're going to shift our focus a little bit next year on some of those budgetary issues, some of the monetary issues. As the economy gets a little tighter, those questions will start to crop up. And so we want to be able to lead well and show legislators and lawmakers the right way to make the right cut if necessary. And also, you know, just let's be smart. If we have surpluses, that's our money. That's your money. That's Charlene's money. That's my money. You know, that's our money. And that means that you've taken too much of it.
Yep.
And so instead of figuring out different and new and innovative ways to spend our money, we should be figuring out how to be smart about it and how to limit our state government to do only what is necessary.
Well, I look forward to you running for governor because I think all that would be great.
I think I am content right where I am. This has been a fun experience for me, this legislative session, getting right back down into the nitty-gritty of it, and I'm enjoying leading API, so I'm going to stick there.
Well, all right, my friend. Well, thank you for what you do, and thank you for being in the fray. You have a great weekend, and you and
all. And thank you for all the air cover.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad to do it. That's what we're for. All right, listen, Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute. You can find out more about them at alabamapolicy.org. They do the deep dives, and they get the things done. And it's good stuff. We're going to be right back after this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. And I'm going to wrap up this batch of home fries. I got one article here that I thought bore some describing, because one of the things that I would find most concerning was when, especially when the teachers' union would stir people up. I mean, the teachers' union had its thing, its newsletter that went out like every week, I think, or whatever, and they would like lampoon us. I had this great caricature of an angry-looking me. They had a cartoonist that would draw these, and I had one of me. They did. I had the honor, by the way, of being lampooned in the AEA Journal twice. I took one of them, had it laminated, and put it on the wall of my Senate office. Honor, badge of honor. But the AEA Journal would just get people stirred up. You need to tell your legislator that you're a victim and things are bad. And you, anyway, one of the things that always got me was how the education retirees and the state retirees would get stirred up by the retirement systems and by their union to believe that we were just holding out on them. They've got money. They just won't give it to you. Well, listen, here's the thing. It's painful. So there's a couple of sides to that coin. There was a discussion in the legislative session that just ended now. House Bill 201 by Representative Steve Klaus out of Ozark would have started up a way to give future benefit increases to state and education retirees. Okay, a COLA, a cost of living adjustment to retirees. I'd love to see that. I'd love to be able to do that. But understand that even when you have a surplus budget, you're asking for a big ticket. Why? Well, first of all, if you put a mandatory COLA in there, that just goes up whether you want it to or not. If you put a COLA in there at all, it's not like you gave somebody a 4% bump this year. You gave them a 4% bump for every year thereafter, because you don't put in a cost of living adjustment and then downgrade it. That's why you've seen over the last 10 years the occasional opportunity for a retiree bonus, because we could do a one-time, but we couldn't do a forever. And that's a big deal. These are state tax dollars. And while we're state retirees, we earned it. I know you did. And guess what? You got into that career knowing full well what the retirement plan looked like. And at the same time, it also was frustrating because you'd love to be able to give that COLA. And the state retirees, by the way, have not had a cost of living adjustment since 2007. So has it been a while? Yeah, it has. And I get it. But they also knew when they went in what it was going to be. So I say that to say there was this really rough time. Think about this. If there's $70 million a year in state retirement that you've got to, you know, pay out every year. And within that, you're going to give them a 4%, just a 4%. That's another $2.8 million that has to be carried every year thereafter. If you give them a COLA, but you have steps, like they're going to wind up having a COLA this year and a COLA every third year, or a COLA if we reach this level of budgeting or whatever else, then you're talking about adding millions of dollars to the budget perpetually. And that's the problem. And they never seem to get that. It was always about, why aren't you? And the answer I always had was, how can we? That's the problem. It's not a matter of you don't want to. We did. We wanted to. And there were things we put in place. Think about this. Active duty teachers have had a raise almost every year since Republicans took charge. How about that? They don't want to talk about it that way. They don't want to talk about the fact that the budgets were in proration on and on and on before Republicans took over and fixed the budgeting processes. But you haven't had anybody miss a paycheck. In fact, they all got paid during COVID when the rest of the private sector didn't. So anyway, I thought that was worth throwing out there because that did cause a lot of contention in the last days of the session. But it was one of those things that at some point you just have to go, we can't do that because it's perpetual. It's not a one-time thing. All right, there you go, fiscal responsibility. Coming right back, we'll switch gears. Be right back.